They were chosen so that through them God could bless the whole world. God always had in mind the whole world when he chose Abram, when he chose the Jews. Now, the Jews had this a little mixed up in their minds. They bought into the lie that they were better than everyone else. They believed that those who were circumcised, who were part of the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, were recipients of salvation. Just on a side note, I've used the word circumcised more in the last month in church than I think we have in my entire life. It reminds me of a joke about a priest and a rabbi and a pastor. They each bought new cars, and they're bragging about how they're dedicating these to the Lord. And the priest said, "I sprinkled holy water all over my new car." And the pastor, who's Baptist, said, "I took mine down to the car wash, man. Full immersion baptism dedicated to the Lord." And the rabbi said, "I just cut 2 inches off the tailpipe." Okay, anyway, Paul tells the Jews that being a Jew is not the only way to be in relationship with God. People don't have to become Jews to be accepted by God. They just had to come to God alone through Jesus Christ, because here's the second offensive statement that Paul makes. God is the God of the Gentiles. Whoo! God is the God of the Gentiles too. He said this to the Jews, and the Jews knew, no. God is the God of the Jews. We're God's chosen people. Paul says, God is the God of Gentiles too. Jews knew they were God's chosen people, chosen to be a blessing, chosen to receive the law, chosen to bring forth the prophets, ultimately chosen to have Jesus born into their family. But all of this was never meant for them alone. It was meant for all people, so that blessing would come to the whole world. This would have been a terribly difficult pill for them to swallow, an incredibly difficult change to make. It's why Jesus was killed. It's why Paul was killed. It's why most of the apostles were killed. But it's the hope for all of us. It's my hope. God is my God. I don't deserve this. And I'm not special because I'm not better than anyone else, because God is my God. He's chosen me to be a blessing to all people so that all might know God. This brings us to the final question then that Paul asks. He says this: do we then nullify the law? So he's already dealt with boasting over keeping a certain religious system. He's dealt with discrimination. Now he's dealing with the Jews' third objection. They would assert that Paul is throwing away everything that God established. Oh, really? You're saying God is the God of Gentiles too? So all this stuff that God did here in the past, 2,000 years of history of God working through people, working through the Jews, you're saying you're throwing all of that out? They're accusing him of that. Accusing him of disregarding the law that God gave to Moses and the people of Israel. That's what they were saying. You're nullifying the law. And Jesus was faced with the same challenge. He says in Matthew 5, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So someone was saying to him, you're just putting it all down. You're saying it doesn't matter. And Paul was not saying that everything in the past was done away with. He was not saying, like some people say, that the Old Testament doesn't count for anything anymore. Just read the New Testament. Old Testament, just forget it. No, he was saying that in Jesus, the law has found its fulfillment. He still upholds the law. The law is what tells us where we're missing the mark. It helps us to see where we're walking incorrectly, where we're heading toward death. It's so great. We need it. But we are not justified by keeping the law. We're justified by faith. We're going to get into this more in the weeks to come. But Paul says that we're not under law, but under grace. We're under grace. Now, here's one of the frequent attacks against this grace alone, salvation by grace alone, is that it encourages people to sin. People will say, whoa, are you saying that if I'm saved by grace and all my sins are forgiven, man, why don't I just keep on sinning? It's like a free pass. Get out of sin free card. You know, I can just do whatever I want. Slap that baby down. I can just, you know, no. That's what they're saying. That's why you have to have laws and rules, because otherwise people will just try and get away with stuff. But that kind of thinking is not the result of true conversion. Because true conversion yields a greater desire to obey, not a lesser one. I've been married to Jennifer. It's my wife, Jennifer. Hi, Jen. You wave to Jennifer over there. Yeah. For almost 37 years. And you know what? We have a lot of rules in our marriage. Like, let me tell you something. It's crazy. We have to be faithful to each other. Like, that's a non-negotiable. We can't steal from each other. There should be no violence between us, Jennifer. We need to respect each other. We need to forgive each other. We can't lie to each other. We have to raise our kids together. Now, a lot of rules. That's just some of them. There's so many rules. Now, what do you think? Do you think we have these rules printed up on some thick cardstock and stuck on our fridge, in our bathroom? The marriage rules. You know, and we have them memorized. We quiz each other every night. Make sure we're up on all the latest rules. No, we never think about the rules because we love each other. There are times when a rule is broken and we feel it, but it's not because we have that list of rules before us. We almost never think about those rules because we're always thinking about our love. In that sense, we're not under the law. We're not under the law of marriage. We're under the grace of marriage. Does that mean we don't care about those rules? Oh, man, we care about them a lot. And we know that if we break those rules, it will only hurt our relationship. And we don't want to do anything that hurts our relationship. Some of those rules are obvious. And we know them intrinsically. So they're just, yeah, there's most people would know them. But others are not so obvious, at least not for me. I'm not that smart. And I need to learn them. And I need to learn new rules and practice them. Let me give you an example. One of the things that we both remember from our premarital counseling was the acronym HAZE, which stands for Humor at Spouse's Expense. Humor at spouse's expense. Our counselor told us this was a no-no. You see, Jennifer and I, we know all kinds of things about each other that no one else knows. Right? We've seen each other in more and varied situations than anyone else has been privy to. Consequently, we've seen each other at our best and at our worst. We've seen each other make the smartest decisions ever and the dumbest decisions. We've seen each other be totally competent and cool. And we've seen each other make total fools of ourselves. So it would be an easy laugh in public to mention the silly or foolish things that the other person has done. You should see what Jen did yesterday. Oh my! And I could say something, you all go, ha, 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 ha. And that'd be so funny, except for one person. For Jennifer, it would cut like a knife into her heart. Now, we've learned this rule the hard way. But we've learned it. I didn't know this rule naturally. I needed the marriage laws to point it out to me. But as we've obeyed this law, we've been able to avoid a lot of relationship-killing pain. So in one sense, those laws are very restrictive. There are so many jokes Jennifer can't tell you about me. A lot of laughs that she can't have. But in a truer sense, those laws bring freedom and life to our relationship. We do not nullify the marriage laws. No, we uphold them. And Christianity does not nullify the laws of God. No, rather they uphold them. And there are some things that I do that I know will hurt my relationship with God. Obvious things. And there are other things that are less obvious. I need to be taught them. For example, it's in the heart of God that we help the poor. Now, if I never do anything to help the poor, that's going to hurt God. It's just so important to him. He's just so crazy about sharing and helping the poor. And if I go, yeah, I'm just going to take all my stuff from me. Just take care of me. This is going to hurt God. I need to learn about this. I need to learn that when I help the poor, I'm actually blessing God. Building into our relationship. See, the goal is not to obey all the laws to have obeyed all the laws. The goal is to be close in relationship with Jesus. He's the fulfillment of the law, and relationship with him is the greatest privilege that we have. Christ wants to set us free. He wants to set us free from all our ego, all our pride. He wants us to be free from the insatiable urge to brag about ourselves. It's a black hole that will suck the life and energy out of you. He wants us to know that we will never feel fully validated by anyone's praise. The only reason that we brag and that we boast and try to feel that we're better than the next person is because we really haven't grasped just how much we're loved by God. This is what it is, my friends. The only reason you boast and brag is because you don't know how deeply loved you are by God. That's why Paul says, I just want you to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You may know this love, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. So I wanted to close our time tonight. I wanted to just read through a bunch of words about God's love for you, a bunch of verses about God's love for you. That's all I want, just to read them over you and have you just listen to them. There's so many lies out there. We got to speak the truth about God's love for you. And then there's this thing called, it's a video called Father's Love Letter. Maybe some of you have seen it. But here's what it is. It's a whole bunch of verses of God speaking his love over you. So I thought, instead of me doing this, I just want to play this video and let it bless you. Let it speak God's love to you. So you can watch it on the screen if you want to, or you can just close your eyes and listen to it. They're just statements and verses, statements based on verses or verses themselves throughout Scripture. That's all it is, God's love for you. Let's listen to this together.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Lord, we come to you today needing to hear these words. Because there are a lot of words in our culture that would say something different. They would say that we're not enough. We're not smart enough, beautiful enough, rich enough, successful enough, clean enough, pure enough. But we fall short in every way. We're not worthy to be loved. And you come and say that you love us, that we're yours. You created us. You chose us. Not because we're so great, but because of your just decision to love. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts to see you and know you and know that that your grace for us is all that we could ever need. Lord, I pray that we would be, we would listen to these words of truth today. Think of what John said. That we are children of God. How remarkable it is that we are your children. Lord, I pray that we'd be people that brag about you, that are filled with praise for you. We'd be people that aren't ashamed of our weaknesses. We would boast in our weaknesses because that would then will exalt you and what all the good ways that you are strong. We'd be rich and generous in our boasting about each other, in our praise and our encouragement of each other, of your work in each other's lives. You do great things. Free us up, Lord. Free us up from that need to promote ourselves. Help us to be humble. You oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you chose the Jewish people to bring Jesus into the world, and that through them we've all been blessed. Through Christ, we've all been blessed with eternal life. So thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for purchasing our lives on the cross, revealing the Father's love. God, who loved the world so much, gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.